I just wanted to say I was just so impressed by our children's ministry and their play, even though it seemed like it was falling all apart at the end. But they did such a great job. And the choir, it just sounded really, really, really wonderful. And so thank you all for all the efforts that you've made into making this day a special day. And also, I just want to mention our worship team. Thank you as well. You guys have made it really, really a wonderful experience to worship the Lord today. We've been going through a sermon series called The Gift. And I just want to, you know, as we take this time to think about Christmas, as we think about this Advent season, I can't help but just continue to have my mind not only think about all the joyful things, but also about how there are people in this world that have a difficult time whenever we come into this season. Christmas is supposed to be a time of joy. It's supposed to be a time of celebration. People all around the world celebrate Christmas, and there are some people that celebrate Christmas without really understanding why Christmas exists. They just think it's a Western holiday. But it is supposed to be a time of joy, a time of celebration. And once again, though, for some people, it is a time that's very difficult, whether because of past memories, because of what they've experienced, because of family history. It could be a very difficult time for some people. This past week, I felt like I died and rose again. because I was sick for the whole week, basically. And finally, yesterday, I started to feel a lot better, and today I feel great. Well, 95%. I was in bed for like 3 days, basically. But even more than that, while I was in bed, I got news from some friends that one of my good friends in America, he was my age, that he had passed away. And they held his funeral this past week. And while I was in bed, I was able to attend the online funeral service. Normally, during a funeral service, you would expect a lot of grieving, a lot of weeping, and there was. But at the same time, I was really encouraged by the fact that there was a lot of joy, it seemed like. There seemed to be a lot of peace, an experience of joy that you would not expect at a funeral service. And the reason was because there's a lot of people that came up to the front and they shared about how my friend was just such a wonderful father, a husband, a friend, a believer in Jesus Christ who continued to show God's love to so many people. There are some people that also shared about how they would look forward, they are looking forward to seeing my friend again. Because as believers, as Christians, we believe that even though we die, we will not stay dead, but we will rise again from the dead with Jesus Christ. And that we will be able to see even those that have passed away, our loved ones, we'll be able to see them once again. And that's the wonderful thing that we celebrate when we talk about Advent. It's not just something that we look forward to Christmas about. It's not just where we look forward to Christmas coming and we celebrate how Jesus Christ came to this earth many years ago. But we also remember that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And we look forward to how Jesus Christ will return one day. And when Jesus Christ returns, it's going to be a wonderful experience, especially for believers. It's a day that we can really experience joy. And so today's title is Joy, the Greatest Gift. And we're going to be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 35 to 40. This is not a typical Christmas passage to read, but throughout this sermon series, we've been talking about money specifically. We've been talking about money and how that relates to our lives, especially during this season where there are just so many distractions. There's so many things that we could be worried about. And yet what we want to do is we want to take a moment to pause and think about Jesus Christ. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I want to ask you to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse 35. If you have one of these Bibles from the outside, we're looking at page 871. 871. This is the reading of God's word. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Amen. The main idea for today is this. Joyfully look forward to Christ's return. Joyfully look forward to Christ's return. The three points that we're going to go through today are, number one, look forward to Christ's return. Number two, joyfully. And number three, thanksgiving. As we look at our first point, look forward to Christ's return. The Bible does tell us that Jesus Christ will return. And in today's passage, what we find is that we need to be looking out for that. We need to be ready for that. And every time that we come to the Advent season, it's the perfect time for us to just pause. I mean, we want to do this throughout the year, but especially during the Advent season, it's a perfect time for us to pause and remember, yes, Jesus Christ did come to the earth. Yes, he did die for the sins of people. Yes, he did rise again. And yes, he will return one day. But as we are reminded to take a moment to think about this, there's so many things that are going on in this world, so many things that are going on in our lives that they just constantly distract us from focusing on our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you guys may know about the movie or the book called A Christmas Carol by an author named Charles Dickens. I personally like the Disney version with Mickey Mouse and Uncle Scrooge. Now, the story is about Uncle Scrooge, and I'm not going to tell the whole story here. But what we find is that Uncle Scrooge is just so distracted with his money, with making money, that he's completely forgotten about the meaning of Christmas. And then in the same way, in our own lives, there's so much that's going on as we're thinking about the new year, as we're thinking about a new start. Some of us, we're still thinking about our businesses and trying to meet the last quarter's goals. Some of us, we're just thinking about what kind of changes that we can make with our lives once we get that bonus at the end of the year. And our minds are just so distracted. It's similar to a time that I got into a taxi, and we had a kind of a long ride, and I was talking with the taxi driver, and I said, hey, so have you ever thought about Jesus Christ? Have you ever thought about heaven and what might happen after this life? And his response was basically, I would like to think about those things, but I just don't have time to think about any of that. I don't have time to think about it because I'm just so busy making a living for my family. I need to make sure I drive enough to pay for my family's needs. And so I would like to think about those spiritual things, but I don't have the time to think about it. Contrary to this type of thinking, what our passage today starts off with is, it starts off by saying, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. In other words, don't change clothes into your pajamas. Don't get ready to sleep. Of course, this is talking about things figuratively. Excuse me. Don't be in a state of just getting ready to rest, but be dressed for action. Get ready, because something big is about to happen. Keep your lamps burning. Don't get ready to go to sleep. Don't get ready to turn off the light and go to sleep. Be ready. Something big is going to happen. And what is that thing? Well, the next verse goes on to say, let me give you another example of how you should be ready without telling you what's going to happen just yet. It says, be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Those servants, they better be ready when the master comes home. The master went away for a wedding feast, and the master is going to come back. And so Jesus says to his disciples, Jesus says to the people, be like these servants who are going to be ready at any point for the master to come home. Don't be wasting your life right now. Don't be distracted by other things in this world. Be focused. Remember that the master is coming back at any moment. Well, in verse 40, it makes it clear for us what Jesus is talking about. What is this big event that's going to happen? It says in verse 40, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Well, what is that going to be like when Jesus Christ returns? Why should we be looking forward to this day? Well, basically, in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, it gives us a little bit more detail about what's going to happen in that last day when Jesus Christ returns. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. What Jesus is saying is that one day Jesus Christ will return. And when he does return, all those that are dead will be brought to life. All those that are living will also be alive at that time, and everyone will be raised either to the resurrection of life, or they will be raised to the resurrection of judgment based on what they have done. Those that are good will be raised, and they will be raised to experience eternal life, a life of joy and pleasure with the Lord. But those who are evil will be raised up, and they will be faced with judgment, and they will be raised to an eternal punishment, an eternity of suffering. And as you hear this, some of you might be thinking, wait, hold on. I came to Christmas service to hear about something nice. Why are we talking about eternal punishment? Well, let's talk about something nice, our second point. Joyfully. All right, our main idea is to joyfully look forward to Christ's return. See, the thing is that when we talk about Advent, as I said, we remember Jesus Christ and how he was born in a manger. We remember how there was a time before Jesus Christ came, and there were people that were waiting for Jesus to come, and there was this expectation. Because the people during that time, they were in captivity, and they wanted to be rescued. And so people were crying out to God, saying, God, please come and rescue us. And it was at that very time that Jesus Christ came. But he wasn't the kind of rescuer that people were thinking. Jesus Christ came, and he wasn't a conquering king. He was born as a helpless baby. Jesus Christ came and grew up, and again, he wasn't that conquering king, but he was the Messiah that was going to save their souls. Because even if your body died, God is able to make your life, give you life again, and to raise you from the dead. You see, Jesus was not about just making you have a good life, but he was all about wanting to have you have a relationship with God, because this is the only way that you will really experience life for what life was meant to be. And so the way that Jesus Christ accomplished that was that he grew up, he lived his life on the earth as a human being, and then he was willing to take your place and die on the cross for your sins. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven and made the promise that he will return one day. In our passage today, it says this: Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. I've underlined the word blessed because we're in our second point, we're talking about something joyful, right? The word blessed means to be happy. Happy are those servants whom the master finds awake. Why are they happy? Because it's just so interesting. What they'll find is that when the master sees them waiting for the master, when the servants are waiting for the master will come in and he himself will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table and will come and serve them. In other words, the master will come and will serve the servants. How would you feel if you were one of these servants and you're supposed to be serving the master and you are waiting for the master to come and the master is just so glad to see you serving him, waiting, ready for you, for him to come. And he says, you are a happy servant. I'm going to make you happy. And he says, come and sit down, and I'm going to serve you today. Imagine if you were the servant, what kind of feelings would you have? It would be feelings of thankfulness. Not just happiness, it would be feelings of thankfulness. Maybe even for some of us, it would be feelings of just feeling a little bit of like ashamed. Whoa, I'm not supposed to be receiving this from my master. No, this is not supposed to be happening. And yet the master is so insistent. I'm going to serve you. This idea of Jesus coming, not as one who is coming to serve, not as someone coming to be served, but to serve, is found in so many places in Scripture. He washes his disciples' feet. He goes and he dines with his friends, but he's the one that feeds the people. Not only that, we're reminded of a story, and I don't know how clear this is because of the light, but there's supposed to be a picture of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane before he goes to the cross. And Jesus is praying. And he's pleading with the Father. Please take this cup from me. Please take this punishment, this pain, this suffering that I'm going to face. Please take it away from me. Please take this responsibility away from me. But ultimately, not what I will, but let your will be done. I desire more, Father, for your will to be done than for my own suffering to be gone. And at the same time as Jesus was going out and praying this thing, he told his disciples, stay here, watch, and pray. Be alert. Otherwise, temptation will come at you. Stay awake. Be alert. Because the time is coming soon. And what ended up happening with the disciples? They fell asleep. Jesus commanded them. Jesus told them, stay awake. Be alert. Because the time is coming soon. Stay awake so that temptation doesn't overtake you. And yet what ended up happening is that they ended up falling asleep. You see, the thing is that in our own lives, this is also maybe what we face. We hear the command today. We have this Advent season to remind us to be alert, to stay awake, be aware. Jesus Christ is coming soon. I don't know the exact day. I don't know the exact time. But Jesus Christ is coming back. And some who are good will be raised to eternal life. And those who are evil will be raised to eternal punishment. Be aware of this. Understand that this is going to happen. Be ready for action. And I'm not only talking to unbelievers, I'm talking to you believers. Are you thinking about how you're living your life right now? What are you distracted by? What are you thinking about during this Advent season, during this Christmas season? Are you focused on the Lord? Or are you focused on all the busyness of life or the busyness of getting ready for Christmas service? What's on your mind? Perhaps we're like the disciples and we drowsily go through life thinking that we have a grasp of what we need in this life. We drowsily go through this life trying to feel around, trying to find what the right path is for our future, trying to figure out things with our finances, trying to figure out things with our own lives. We drowsily go through life trying to aim for what we think is what's right in front of us. But you know, when you're in that sleepy state, you have no idea what's going on. You think you understand when you're in that drowsy state, but once you wake up, that's when you're clear-headed and you think, oh, that was just a dream. That wasn't for real. And what we find ourselves doing often, just like the disciples, even though Jesus Christ has said, stay awake, be alert, don't you know what's coming? We find ourselves often drowsily going through life and just like the disciples falling asleep. But here's the good news. All the while we have been drowsily living our lives, Jesus was alert. He was there praying while the disciples were falling asleep. And while we are drowsy in our lives, losing focus here and there, Jesus is awake and alert. And constantly interceding on your behalf today. The Bible tells us that Jesus, even now, is interceding on your behalf. Because as the Bible does say in Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus also says this. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Throughout this whole month, we've been talking about finances and how the finances keep us from coming to the Lord. Our worries, our anxiousness about our lives, about our futures, about our children, about our parents and providing for them. All of these worries flood our minds. But Jesus has said over and over again, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus says. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I would go to prepare a place for you? You see, we might be worrying, you know, am I being good enough? Am I evil? Will I raise to eternal life or will I be raised to eternal judgment? I don't know. That's what you might be thinking. But you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, don't worry. If you are my child, if you are my friend, if you believe in me, then I want you to know and be clear that I've already gone and prepared a place for you in heaven. You don't have to worry about whether you're going to be in heaven or not. I've already gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going, Thomas said. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, here's the thing. The reason why Jesus is able to say this is because he knows, and we know, that he will die for our sins. For the ways that we forget about the Lord, for the ways that we drowsily go about this life, for the ways that we are not alert, for the ways that we forget about our Lord Jesus Christ and not live for him. We are not the good servants that stayed up for the master to return. We're the ones that fell asleep. But Jesus was the one that stayed awake. And Jesus is the one that deserves all the service. Jesus is the one that deserves all the rewards. And yet what Jesus did for us is that he traded places with us. And he said, I will take your punishment and you can receive my rewards. And so today, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, or even if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, today is a wonderful day to admit, to come before the Lord Jesus Christ and admit, I have been living my life in a drowsy state. You may be able to say, Lord Jesus, even though you are my king, and even though I am your child, even though I am a Christian, I often forget about you. And I admit today that I need you. And so what I want to do is I want to lead us in a prayer. I want to read the prayer for us first. And this is really small. Some of you guys might be able to see it. But don't worry, I have a bigger version. All right. I just want to put it up there. And I want to read it for us. Because this is the prayer that I want us to read through together. And I want us to just be clear about what we're praying together. The prayer says this. Jesus, I've been busy living my life. I've been busy living life in my own way. But Jesus, I've only been drowsily looking for life, only to have been found wanting, lacking. But you died on the cross for this sin of mine, of trying to find life in my own way. You have said that you are the way, the truth, and the life. I want to believe in you, Jesus. Please save me. Thank you that you did die for me. Thank you that you did rise from the dead. From this day forward, I want to live my life for you. I want to look forward to your coming. I look forward to when you will take me home. Until then, let me live life fully for you and you alone. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I want to ask all of us to pray this together. And if you are not a believer, if you're ready to pray this prayer, I want to ask you to pray this prayer with all your heart. If you are already a believer and you are wanting to pray this prayer, I want to ask you to pray with all your heart. Even if you're not ready to pray this prayer, just pray with us and let the Lord build the faith in you. But this is the way that we can really joyfully look forward to Christ's coming. Because remember, Christ exchanged lives with us so that it's not about our own good anymore, but it's about Jesus' good life in us. So that when Christ returns, he said that he has already prepared a place for us and we will be raised to eternal life. And so if you're ready, I want to ask all of us out loud. It's okay to keep your eyes open, but out loud, let's pray this prayer together. Jesus, I've been busy living life in my own way, but Jesus, I've only been drowsily looking for life, only to have been found wanting, lacking. But you died on the cross for this sin of mine, of trying to find life in my own way. You have said that you are the way, the truth, and the life. I want to believe in you, Jesus. Please save me. Thank you that you did die for me. Thank you that you did rise from the dead. From this day forward, I want to live my life for you. I want to look forward to your coming. I look forward to when you will take me home. Until then, let me live life fully for you and you alone. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. If you prayed this prayer, and especially if you're not a believer and you prayed this prayer with us, I want to ask you to let us know that this is what you've done. Also, if you are a believer and you've prayed this prayer, I want to ask you to also share with us, perhaps in our line group, how this sermon and how this prayer has affected you. You know, so we're talking about these things about how Jesus Christ came and he died and he rose again and how he's going to return one day. And we're talking about how we want to joyfully look forward to Christ's return. But how do we do that today, and what does it look like? What does that mean for us today? Well, this is where we come to our last point, Thanksgiving. We've been going through this acronym during our sermon series, this word gift. We've talked about G, generosity, I, integrity, F, frugality. Today we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving. So when you're busy, it's easy to forget to be thankful. And sometimes even when you're thankful, it's easy to forget who we are being thankful to. So we want to remember that we want to be thankful for the things that are happening in our lives today. But remember that all these things are possible. All these things that are happening because of our God. We want to be clear that there is someone that we can be thankful to. Now, why do we want to be thankful, especially as people that put our faith in Jesus Christ? Why do we want to be thankful? Well, I want to kind of summarize just some of the things that we've been talking about in our services these past couple weeks. We talked about how God is a God of an ab- of a abundance. And because of that, he has just so much that he's able to give to us that gives us a mindset where we want to be generous. Not only that, he actually does fill up our cups. He gives us enough of what we need. And so because he does do that, we're able to not only be generous, but we're also able to just be honest about our finances. We don't have to pretend like we have more or we have less for tax purposes or whatever, to show that we are better people. We don't have to do all that. We could be very honest about our finances because we have enough that's coming from the Lord. Not only that, God has an abundance. He gives us enough, but he gives us even more that overflows so that we're able to give to others and show love to others in that way. And so as God pours out his love upon us, we're able to pour out, overflow that love to other people. And our overflowing to other people will not be enough to fill them up. And so we want to continue to point them to Jesus Christ. You see, because we have Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, he's given us access to have this relationship with God, this God of abundance, who fills us up with enough and even more to overflow, to be able to give to others. Isn't this something that we want to be thankful for? This life is a life where we're able to give to others, and we don't have to be anxious about our own lives because God is giving us enough. This is something that is constantly going on in our lives. The reason why we are not thankful is because we often forget. We often forget this wonderful blessing that God has given to us because of our relationship with him. And so, as we remember the relationship that we have with our Lord, let's give thanks. The way that we can do that is that, just as a way to start, give thanks to Jesus for at least one thing as soon as you wake up. And give thanks to Jesus for at least one thing before you go to bed. Right now, why don't we start that practice by even turning to our neighbors and just tell them one thing that you're thankful for. So let's do that right now. All right, I did say just one thing. So why don't we turn our attentions to the front again. Today, I wasn't here just to necessarily share with you some type of inspiring story about other people. Sometimes when we hear inspiring stories, it's not very inspiring because it's still about someone else and not about yourself. But I do want to tell you an inspiring story about Jesus. And let you know that you can also receive the greatest gift of all. And that's not something, but it's someone. It's the greatest gift that was given over 2,000 years ago. And that's Jesus Christ himself. And because of Jesus Christ, we're able to be filled with joy. And we can joyfully look forward to his coming one day. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for your wonderful gift, our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of what he has accomplished for us, we are able to have that good life in us. When Jesus Christ exchanged his life for ours, we receive the benefits of the good servant. We receive the benefits of being in a relationship with you. So, Father, thank you so much for this wonderful truth. And I do pray for everyone here that every person would not be distracted by the things of this world, But Lord, that you would encourage us to not just be alert, but Lord, that we would look forward joyfully to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.